Thank you for visiting New Song Community Church on the web at newsongpdx.com. We pray that you will be blessed by listening to the message today. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. We are located on the corner of Russell Street at 2511 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland, Oregon.
We're going to go into Acts chapter 27. We're going to pick up at verse 9 through 20. We're going to talk today about the idea of, we've been talking about shipwreck for the last 4 weeks. Heeding warnings to prevent ruin. I think there's some things we'll learn from this. I'll pick it up and we'll find the responding verses. Now, when much time had been spent and sailing was now dangerous because the fast was already over, Paul advised them. Nevertheless, the centurion was more persuaded by the helmsman, the owner of the ship, than by the things spoken by Paul. When the south wind blew, softly supposing that they would obtain their desire, putting out to sea, they sailed close to Crete. You like that word, don't you? Euroclydon. I know, it's one of those things. We threw it in there. It's a test. And running under the shelter of the island called Claudia, we secured the skiff with difficulty. Come on now, start again. I'm going to send y'all to school. Okay. And because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day they lightened the ship. On the third day, we threw the ships back overboard and our hands. And let's read verse 20 together. Now, when stars appeared for many days, and no small tempest beat on us, all hope that we was finally given up. Let's pray. Father, there are times in our life we've given up. We've given up hope because of the disastrous storm that we're in. We're ready to say, oh, well, you know, this is just the way life ends. But today I want to restore hope in the lives of those who have been shipwrecked because of bad decisions, because of things people told them, because of the climate or whatever it happened to be. And today I want to restore the hope that we can be all that Jesus desires for us to be. Lord, I speak hope, I speak life, I speak peace, I speak restoration, I speak power, I speak anointing in the name of Jesus over people who feel like they're just kind of lying on the shore just waiting to be taken home, because Lord, there's work to be done. And I pray in the name of Jesus that your power and your anointing would be upon this folk of people. Lord, there are people that are going to be healed today because they need to have a well body to do what you call them to do. There's people that need to be loose from all types of bad things that have happened so they can go forth with the joy of the Lord being their strength. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as we leave this place, all these things will occur. We thank you for them. We praise you for them. In the mighty name of Jesus, everybody shout out amen.
Amen.
Okay, you can be seated. You say, what happened to him? I'm just fired up. God bless y'all. Well, I do not believe that there's any one of us who can honestly say that we have not chosen at one time or another to ignore advice or good instruction from someone that would have saved us a lot of heartache, a lot of pain, a lot of frustration, and a lot of money. Yes, Lord. But our culture seems to have adopted the philosophy. Remember that song, How Can It Be Wrong When It Feels So Right? You remember that one. You light up my life. It's like you blew out my candles, more like that. Because Because we can't go by feelings. You know. In Proverbs chapter 16, verse 25, and also in chapter 14, verse 12, is the same verse. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I said, why do you repeat that twice? Because it takes a couple of times for us to get it. Let me give you the three things we're going to talk about today. Number one, have you ever allowed your emotions of urgency to push past the gates of common sense? We got to get this done. And then, of course, what was the hurry? And there was a problem. Well, move on to the second one. It says, have you ever allowed the coercion of a skilled salesman to push you past the threshold of good reasoning to make a bad decision? If you have a Kirby vacuum cleaner, God bless you. I don't have to say nothing else. Because they made you think that that Kirby vacuum was going to jump out the box and clean your house. Is that what they told you? That's what it seemed like. Because it did this, it did that, it vacuumed, it did, you know, shampooed rugs and all this other type of thing. All you had to do was pay that. I won't tell you how much you paid. Moving on. Have you realized that intelligence and experience are God-given faculties that can keep your spiritual life in concert with His will? Intelligence and experience. And sometimes those are put aside as the fact that God didn't save your brain. Well, I'm telling you what, He's going to sanctify some today. Because God did give you the power to reason and to make good decisions. And so as we talk through this particular message today, I believe that God is going to bring us to a place where we have to look at some decisions that we've made because of other people that influenced us. But a lot of times we had the final decision and we went along with what our emotions or other things prompted us to do. Well, God gives us clues and divine indicators that should not be ignored. Chapter 27, verses 6 through 8 again. Look at this. Then the centurion found the Alexandrian ship sailing to Italy, and he put us on board. And when we had sailed slowly for many days and arrived with difficulty off Sindus, the wind not permitting us to proceed, we sailed under the shelter of Crete, Crete of Salmon. And then verse 8, passing it with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Havens near the city of Lacia. There's a few clues there. We sailed on with difficulty. Things weren't going well. But sometimes we feel like if I just push a little bit harder and kind of ignore the evidence, it's going to turn out okay. Do not vote on this one. I will vote for you. You have done it many times, and so have I. Because we thought, just gut it out. It'll be fine. But the Holy Spirit didn't say the same thing. But there's so much that we can learn from this. And I believe that God's going to help us. Shipwreck can often be avoided if we take heed to natural signs and indicators. Now, I know that we're coming up to the bad season of weather where, you know, it's going to rain a lot, may even snow. There'll be ice on the ground as far as it's concerned. But I know there are times when, you know, there's an ice storm going on and I'll convince myself, well, it's a little icy out there and I need to go to this particular place. I don't really need to go there. I just feel like I really want to have a crunch bar. There is ice on the ground. But something tells me I need a crunch bar. A Nestle's crunch bar. I haven't had one of those in months, but all of a sudden it comes in the forefront of our mind and we will do stupid things. Ice on the ground. Because who tells us, well, nobody else is out there. I can make it. You can laugh about it because you know you've done it. All the indicators say that wisdom says you're not going to die. But if you go out there, you might die, but you will take the risk in Jesus' name. There are some things that will be signs to warn us that could happen if we continue on our chosen course of direction. And let me throw this one in there just for a keeper too. We should never take for granted the grace that has been extended to us in the time of ignorance or distraction. How many times has God saved your bacon? Saved you when you were being stupid? Don't presume on it. Because there comes a time when God says, you know what? I'm going to withdraw my hand, not because I love them, but because I need to teach them a lesson. How many of y'all got kids? Grown kids. Sometimes the best answer is, it only has two letters. It's N and O. And no does not mean you don't love them. It means that you love them more than getting them involved in a situation that they need to think it through. And so God is going to teach us today that when he says no, it's not because he doesn't love us. Is there something better that's going on? Well, this next little piece, I'll give you a little history with it. The Fast of the Atonement that was referred to is usually occurred in October of the year. Acts chapter 27, verse 9. I want to give you a little context here. Now, much time had been spent, and Salem was now dangerous because the fast was already over, and Paul advised him. Let me tell you what it has fast in capital letters. It said the fast. What does that mean? Well, it meant that the safe time of year to go sailing was over. I wrote some specific notes here that will help you to realize what that was all about. Well, people seldom sailed after September of the year because the waters were too dangerous. They just didn't do it. And that time was over, but these folks were, well, we got to push this thing through. Next thing you need to realize, it says, and even though Paul felt an urgency in his spirit to go to Rome, he did not push his agenda to get the captain to move his timeline. Our urgency oftentimes is propelled by things that we really desire now. May I tell you something very prophetic? I want you to look at me when I tell you this. Not now doesn't mean never. But sometimes you interpret not now meaning it's never going to happen. So you feel like this is the only opportunity that I have, and I've got to do it now. I got to get married now. And this is the best offer I've had so far. He got a job. Jesus! And he liked my kids. You can laugh about it, but that's what we do. And then when it goes sidewise or otherwise, it was, oh, Jesus, Jesus. That's what you should have been saying at first. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, deliver me from me. But here's the thing. So Paul knew that he wanted to get to his destination. He said, but you know what? If I get there in the spring, it'll be okay. Delay is not denial. Matter of fact, in the delay, you may learn to appreciate more what you get in the time after that period is over. Never let urgency be the driving force, I mean urgency that you're propelling, to you make a decision. I got to make a decision right now. Because you'll regret it. Well, moving forward, here's a couple other things. So Paul wanted to stay in Fair Haven for the winter and sail out in the spring. Winter to spring, probably about 3 or 4 months. That's a long time, some people would say. Well, we must learn to discern when it is the Holy Spirit and when it is our flesh moving us to pursue or to do things. What about timing? Is that important to you? Timing. The Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Now, wait a minute. If you put it in the context of what was happening in Israel, it had been over 400 years before they had any prophetic word or anything going on in Israel before Jesus came. God was silent for 400 years. But the Bible says, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son. Do not allow the time frame or the clock to move you ahead of what God's going to do. Amen. 400 years is a long time. You say, didn't God care that period of time? There's something that God is working out in you while the time clock is ticking. And every day, you have an opportunity to draw closer to him. That when that day comes, you can rejoice and know that this is a day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Otherwise, if you get ahead of time, you say, oh, this is a day that God has made and I missed everything that goes along with it. That's my new interpretation. Well, so Here's another little piece. We must be obedient and not get ahead of the Lord. Oh, is that profound? I think so. Back to the scripture, Acts chapter 27, verse 8. But we must be willing to employ spiritual discernment at our situations and circumstances. 27, verse 8 says this. Passing with difficulty, we came to a place called Fair Haven. Do you realize some of those things that happened were to get your attention? We sometimes attribute things that happen to, oh yeah, that's really too bad that it happened, this type of thing. But we want to push on through, and we ignore signs that are important. What about this? God gave them enough wind to propel us forward to where we could take heed. And so they got to Fair Haven. That was the stopping point. They should have stopped there. Things in the natural are not necessarily opposed to things that are in the spiritual realm. But what about this? When difficulty comes along, it's not always opposition from the devil. Some of the things you've rebuked was God doing it. In the name of Jesus, devil, I cast you out of this thing here. God said, who are you talking to? I told him not to give you that job. Some of you feel that the louder you talk, it's the more you have control of the devil. Satan, I bind you in the name of Jesus. You're not going to take my stuff. You're not going to leave me here. The devil's back there. He said, what are you talking about? I didn't have nothing to do with that. But go ahead and yell yourself hoarse. I know I'm resonating with some folks today. There's no question in my mind. Because you're talking to the wrong person. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. And there's no turning of shadow. There's no regret involved with it. You don't have to make it fit. Let me move fast forward. We must allow the Holy Spirit to teach us when it is Him declaring our destiny and direction. Going back in the book of Acts, Acts 21, and this is going to be important for a couple of reasons. Because this is kind of at a prayer meeting where you have a lot of spiritual people there. And I'm not here to put down spiritual people because I believe there are people that are anointed, that hear from God, that are prophetic, and all those different things. So do not take that into saying, well, he's just counting all prophecy. No, that's not what I'm doing. But I want you to hear this. This is in the Word of God. It'll help you. It says, on the next day, we were Paul's companions, departed, and came to Caesarea, and entered the house of Philip, the evangelist, who was one of the seven, and stayed with him. Now this man had four virgin daughters who prophesied. And as we stayed many days, a certain prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. And when he had come to us, he took Paul's belt, bound his hands and his feet, and said, thus says the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. Now, when we heard these things, both we and those from that place pleaded with him not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered and says, what do you mean by weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. So when we would not be persuaded, we cease saying, the will of the Lord be done. Oh, this is so much richness in here. Four virgin daughters prophetically agree on the fact that, and they act out this particularly, Agabus acts out this thing that, you know, the guy who owns this belt is in big trouble. He's going to be beaten, he's going to be persecuted, and this other type of thing. So don't go to Jerusalem. Wow. Does that mean when we follow the Lord, everything's going to be smooth sailing? The Bible says they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Is that in the Word of God? Amen. Now, you don't have to look for persecution. It will find you. You're not to look to be mishandled or to abuse. Abuse will find you. But I'll tell you, in this particular sense, it was one of those things in the Bible where you have to look at it from this standpoint. So when God is not providing enough the things that we want, sometimes we feel like we have to find a substitute. Well, watch this. The Holy Spirit will prepare us for things to come that may be interpreted by others differently than it should be applied to our situation. Look at this. Prophecy is one of the ways that Jesus speaks to us to confirm his direction in our lives. Notice what I said. It's one of the ways. I've had people prophesy over my life and done amazing jobs. I remember one time I was in California. It was a large John Wimber meeting. There was probably 6,000-7,000 people there. And I was in one of the side rooms way back, and it was hot in this room and this type of thing. And so John Wimber was ministering, and it's probably only one of two times I ever saw him. I was down there visiting with a friend. And so, but I was seeking something from God, and God gave him a word for me, and you know what? He even called out my name. He said, Richard, da-da-da-da-da-da. I about felt like I had to wake myself up so I get the rest of the prophecy. You hear what I'm saying? God knows where you are. He will deliver his word to you. And so there are times when I know that it's God. But also there's other times when people will give you something and it may not be necessarily the right thing. I remember when I was in the church I'd grown up in, and I had to announce to my mom. I said, you know, Mom, I don't believe God wants me to stay in this organization the rest of my life. I believe God's calling me to go to the first church that I left after I was in House of Prayer for All Nations since I was a kid. Lord, to call me to a different place. My mother wept and moaned and groaned and manipulated. After all your grandfather did for this church, the least you could do was stay here and keep this thing going. And I don't know how you could be so selfish. Then she called my aunt. And oh, my aunt, she could dig in her heels. That's kind of selfish of you. So you're just going to abandon ship for after all your grandfather's done for you. Oh, yes, they did. If you think that didn't hurt, you're kidding yourself. But I knew that God had something different. And that's why I'm here today. It's because of what God, I didn't have to. And they feel like they had the word of the Lord. And nothing against them. But sometimes a lot of these things are emotionally driven. And we have an agenda. And we have something ahead of us. But we have to really hear from God. Can I help some of you right now that have been sidelined by a bad prophetic word? Listen to me carefully. And so you listen to that particular thing and nothing happened. So now you have just sold yourself, no more prophetic words for me. I'm done with that whole particular thing. You know, I'm just going to ride this train until Jesus comes to get me. And I'm not going to do anything with my life. I'm going to heaven. Be with you. Stop it. You need to repent today. And let Jesus make your life all it's supposed to be. Paul was wise enough to say, he says, you know what? I believe you're sincere, but you're breaking my heart. Because even if I go to Jerusalem and I'm persecuted and I die there, that's what I'm supposed to do. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. You can't keep your life. You can't catch your next breath till Jesus says it's time. Amen. Am I talking the truth right now? Amen. So every breath you take is in his hands. Let it count for Jesus and let it count for his kingdom. Well, so that being the case, some decisions will be made by circumstances that seem to outweigh the word of God that will require faith and trust. But, you know, man's majority will never be able to override God's seniority. He's a senior advisor of all of us. They say, and poll the people. Don't poll the people. Let God put within your heart that you know what you're supposed to be doing. I'm not saying just disengage from all wisdom. Well, we can always find a logical reason to support something contradictory to the Lord's instruction. Looking for logic? Sure, logic can say, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Why would God do that? Did anybody ever find anything in the Bible that doesn't make sense? God had to use a jackass to talk to somebody one time. You qualify. Need I say any more? Whatever it takes to get you on the right track, the Holy Spirit can use what's necessary to keep you in His will. Amen. And that's important. So, when we decide to pursue our own direction, we must prepare to suffer consequences. Okay. Let me get to this last little phase because I think it will help all of us to move in a direction. Your Clydon awaits those who ignore warnings. Acts 27:18. Because we were exceedingly tempest-tossed, the next day we lightened the ship. There's some things that we will lose economically because of our choices. Every bad deal or everything that you've lost is not because it's God's fault. It's your fault. You made a bad choice. You made a bad investment. Because your Clydon was a particular time and season of the year that most of the sailors knew about. But remember, we're dealing with three different people, the owner of the ship and the moderator type guy. And they're all saying, move forward. And Paul's the only one saying, that doesn't sound very good. How does it feel to be in the minority? But actually, you're the majority. And everybody's coming against you. God will stand with you. And He'll show you some things that are really important. Well, loss will inevitably be incurred when we go against God's instruction. Disobedience always comes with a price tag. Some of you are still paying installments. Which means this. Your Clydon that we knew was out there will become a reality that we must deal with. Because there's some things that we want them to change, but they won't. After September was a risky time to sail. October, which according to when the scripture was written, they say it was around the first part of October, maybe October 10th, 12th, whatever. Which you're way in the danger zone. If you proceed with your own agenda. Now, many of you know right now that around Florida and such like that, it's hurricane season. Of course, there's the peak of the season. There's other times when it's not so bad. It is foolishness for you to take a great ship that's filled with all types of things. Well, you know, I know they say it's going to be hurricanes, but I'm just going to trust God. He's going to get us through. Huh? We're going back to that thing I started out with. God gave you a brain. He gave you intelligence. It is time for you to engage. That is not a lack of faith. It is the fact of you being able to use the tools that God has given you. But we want to get on this. Oh, I just talked to the Lord, and I just really feel in my spirit. That was the tacos. In Jesus' name. The course we're pursuing will be lost, and we will be hoping just to survive the experience. Here's another little piece here. We must be accountable for our disobedience in order to embrace our salvation. Chapter 27, verses 21, 22. This is good. I love this. But after a long absence from food, then Paul stood in the midst of them and said, men, you should have listened to me and not sailed from Crete and incurred this disaster and loss. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. I want to work this for the last few minutes because it's going to help you. I don't know a lot of the little things that they use on cell phones. The only one I figured out so far is LOL. That means laugh out loud, I think. There's a few of them, they put on that thing, what does that mean, what? But I got some for you, I made some up for you. Are you ready? I-T-Y-S, I told you so. Write it down, baby. When the wheels are falling off the cart, I-T-Y-S. Don't try to soften it. You went down there. I just went down there for a little while. I-T-Y-S. And it didn't work out. You know why? Because I told you in the beginning. But people, we want to be so politically correct right now. We don't want to hurt anyone. Damage their psyche. Fracture their ego. I'm going to look right in your face and say, I told you. And the reason why you're having all these problems is because you are disobedient, you're hard-headed, and you expect it to go a different direction. Thank you. I still love you. Okay, I'm going to get way out there on the edge. I got an email from my son the other day. He's in prison in Sheridan, Oregon. And he had an idea for me. Something that I should do for him. He said, Dad, my daughter's graduating from grade school in June. And the only way I can go and see her is if someone pays for me to ride in a taxi cab from Sheridan, Oregon to Eugene. And they get to pay for a test when I come, coming and going. I need you to help me out. I did not hesitate in my response. There is no way I will ever pay for you to ride in a taxi cab to go to an eighth grade graduation. Have a nice day. He went off the grid for a while. Didn't hear from him for a while. When I told him that, you know, he was just upset. But you can't be afraid of people being upset with you when you tell them, oh, no, 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 no. But you know, I'm looking at some cowards out here. Well, this one time it won't hurt. Yes, it will, because it'll hurt you more the next time when you have to say no. Say no now and save yourself some grief. Here's your next one. I-K-I-S. I know I shouldn't. Use it. Because when you know something, it's something you're willing to stand on and say, I'm not going down this road. And you know what's telling me not to do it? The Holy Spirit, He guides all of my decisions. And I'm not going to go in violation of Him to satisfy you. Well, we're almost there. Our salvation and redemption will come when we will humble ourselves to listen to the grace that has been appropriated to us to be saved. And that means this, that when Paul relayed the good news to the centurion, the owner, and the sailors, he was in charge of the ship. Now remember, as far as we know, I don't know whether it was totally true because I wasn't on the ship. But here you have, Paul was on the ship because he's a prisoner. And he's in chains. But he may be physically in chains, but he's in touch with God. And all of a sudden, everything shifts. Because he says, you know what? I had a vision or a dream the other night that would turn this whole thing around. And let me tell you what that looks like. He says, that we're going to experience a salvation experience that we didn't anticipate. Let me go read a few things. He says, but long after the abstinence from food, Paul stood up in the midst and says, men, you should have listened to me and not have gone and sailed to Crete. But watch this. And now I urge you to take heart, for there will be no loss among you, but only the ship. For there stood by me this night an angel of God to whom I belong and whom I serve, saying, do not be afraid, Paul. You must be brought before Caesar. Indeed, God has granted you all those who sail with you. Let me stop right there. Do you know there's people that will be blessed because of you? They'll be blessed because of your commitment to follow Jesus. They're just kind of hanging out with you, but that blessing will fall off on them because you're being obedient to what God told you to do. Amen. But I got something else. Here's the other part of that story. You need to tell them. Do you know why you're blessed? Because Jesus lives in me. So that sounds kind of arrogant. No, it's giving glory to Jesus, because if Jesus is living in you, they are in big trouble. It's not, you're not bragging. You're just saying, it's because of the God that I serve, everything's going to be okay. You know, our world right now, we need hope. We need something to say that it's not going to fall apart. The wheels aren't going to fall off the car. But it's all because of Jesus. It's not because of me. It's not because I'm more intelligent. It's not because I've got insight. It's because Jesus lives inside of me. Well, so it was the grace of God that Paul chose to take the journey with them, knowing that there was trouble coming their way. Also, they were saved because of Paul's destiny to stand before Caesar. There are things that God has prescribed for your life, that the serendipity of it will be that other people will be alongside of you and they will incur the blessing as well. Well, would you consider these last little pieces? Unless you stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Listen to what that says. Okay, let's read the scripture. Then, fearing lest we should run aground on the rocks, they dropped four anchors from the stern and prayed for the day to come. And as the sailors were seeking to escape from the ship, they had to let down the skiff into the sea under pretense of putting out anchors from the prow. But Paul said to the centurion and the soldiers, unless these men stay in the ship, you cannot be saved. Oh, you got your own exit plan? Some of you sitting right here say, oh, well, yeah, I got my own little exit strategy. I know God doesn't do this. I got it all figured out. Oh, really? You're going to have to go through some rough things in the ship. Some of the things you brought with you on the ship, you'll have to toss overboard. And right now, God is telling some of you, there's some things that you have on board you don't really need. You need to get rid of them so you can be saved. Amen. It's called baggage. You mean that baggage? Yeah, that baggage. You mean this chest right over here where all my stuff, all your stuff, put it in the sea. There's nothing you're going to carry with you into the kingdom. And there's stuff that's holding you back that you've had for years. You're feeling like this is your heritage. Your heritage is only in Christ, and Christ lives within you. And anything you lose in this journey, God can restore it many times over. It's time to jettison some cargo. And you know what? You know what it is. Don't look at me like, I don't know what he could be referring to. I'm totally drawing a blank. You're a liar. Pants on fire. I'm confused. No, you're not. You're delusional. You remind me of Pharaoh. I love the analogy of the frogs. Frogs everywhere. Moses comes along and says, you want to get rid of the frogs? He says, yeah. When you want the frogs gone? Tomorrow. You want to spend one more night with them nasty, slimy frogs everywhere in your life. And that's some people's vision of their life. Well, if I can just go one more hit. One more encounter. I'm going to say it. One more tryst. Whoo, you say, what's a tryst? Ask your neighbor if you don't know. I'll break up with him in a week because we planned this wonderful vacation and I don't want to lose my money. You are crazy. Unless you abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. The Lord will provide protection for us. In the midst of the storm, you must be willing to endure difficulty when you resist the word of God. We must be careful not to move prematurely into what we believe will protect us from shipwreck. Well, we must learn what the trust is in the word of God. And I'm finishing up right on time. These four things I'll mention to you, because he mentions the fact that there's four anchors that you need in order to move forward. To navigate, we must learn to trust God in the midst of our night ordeal of not knowing how to navigate our darkness and despair. Darkness leads to deception. I know I was never in the club scene, but I know of what you all have told me. That when you go to a nightclub, the lights are not bright. They're down low because you can't see everything that's going on. When the lights are down low, yeah, a lot of things happen. You don't see them quite like as they really are. Now turn the lights up right. Woo, Lord Jesus. There's a reason. Help me, Lord. Under the cover of darkness. The first anchor of these four anchors is faith in the word and the promise of salvation. If you abide in the ship, you're going to be saved. Yes. Baptists used to say, it's the old ship of Zion. Get on board. Get on board. That's one. Number two, worship team, you make your way up here, and by the time I finish, we'll be okay. Our second anchor is learning to let go and release ourselves into his hands. Some of you are holding on. And may I ask you a question? What are you holding on to? I'll tell you what some of them are. You're holding on to a dream of what you think your life might be. And it will disappear like a vapor. And you won't have an opportunity to get where you want to go. Let go. May I be so try to use the phrase, let go and let God. Number three. Our anchor is hope in the faithfulness of God. The Lord has never, ever let us down. Anybody raise your hand if you believe that. He's never let you down. Here's the last one. Our final anchor is thanksgiving and praise, knowing that when the dawn comes, we will see the victory. I want to talk to you folks that are in the midnight of your experience. In the midnight of your experience, you don't see things very clearly. And that midnight has told you that it's not going to work out. Matter of fact, some of you, when you came through the doors this morning, even though it was a rather robust and, shall I say, wonderful praise service, you couldn't enter in because the midnight of your soul was holding you hostage. Maybe to a bad decision you made this last week, or maybe a bad decision you made years ago. But God is offering you safety in the ship that he's prepared for you that will navigate you, you through the harbor of despair. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Wow. I wonder if you folks would begin to intercede now that you have an intercessory spirit, because I really feel there's some warfare going on at this point where some people here today really want to break free from things that they've been going through all their lives. Can I just paint a picture for some people with their heads bowed right now? It's so hard for you to imagine what freedom looks like because some of you have become so used to despair and darkness and failure. And Jesus offers you, he says, the storms are still rolling. You can't see because the darkness is there, but stay in the ship. The break of day is coming. I want to offer you safety that Jesus can offer you in the midst of the most dark time in your life. Because some of you say, you know, I've never been successful. I've tried to do this thing before. It didn't work. I've had all types of things that have gone sideways in my life. I can barely hold on to my next breath. I want to offer you Jesus. And I'm going to pray. And at the end of my prayer, I'm going to ask for people to say, you know, I want Jesus to take over in my life. I want the ship of salvation to carry me into the place that God has prepared for me. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Your word says there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And Lord, we will admit that we've walked after our flesh, but from this day forward, if you'll give us the opportunity, and I know you will, we seek the Holy Spirit today to differentiate between the flesh and spirit, and we yield ourselves to Him and Him alone. And by doing so, we do it by confessing that we need Him right now. If that's who you are, and you need to take care of that today, without any shame at all, I want you to stand to your feet right now. Just stand up and say, you know, I need to do something about this today. Stand up. Go ahead. Don't wait for somebody else to do it. No, that's right. Stand up. Stand. Stand. Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. There's a few other folks. That's right. Stand up. It's okay. Because God has something for you. The other folks that don't want to stand up, you know, there's something else could happen. Yeah, that's right. Thank you, ma'am. Because God was talking to you. There's about three more people who need to stand up right now in Jesus' name. Stand up in Jesus' name. That's right. Thank you. There's two more. And the reason why you say, well, you know, there's one more. In Jesus' name. Don't be left out because Jesus is here for you. In just a moment, we will all stand together. And I'm inviting all you that are standing right now. You'll come down the altar and meet us here. We're going to pray with you. Everyone else stand. You come. You folks come right now in Jesus' name.
Thank you for listening today. We pray that you have been blessed by listening to the message. You are welcome to celebrate with us in worship and the Word every Sunday at 10 a.m. If you have a prayer need, we welcome you to submit it through our website. We'd love to pray for you. Will you consider supporting us with your prayer and financial gifts? God bless you.